It is so well defined. What we have to do today, we got to go to work.
We got
to
do. Oh, hey everyone, Wade and Ryan here, NFL in London. Ooh, stretching, feeling a little stiff, stretching out the cobwebs because the season has started. 2024 season has started. Free agency, I can't even keep at the track of the tracks.
Honestly, it's insane. Like, to get through this, it'll take like 6 hours, to be honest.
Well, then folks, buckle in and get
transactions.
Your coffee.
It's been a wild. I love free agency. I think free agency, I like it way better than the draft. Everyone's like, oh, the draft. Free agency is so much fun. It's because I know the players. I kind of know where they're going. You kind of see what people kind of think of, like, what the value of certain people are. Like, we might as well start with your team, because your team's been the most fascinating, I think,
well,
of the whole
let's start
off
with,
season.
Let's start with the Packers. The Bears, of course.
Yeah.
Justin Fields, you know, obviously, everyone thinking we're going to get something for him, but the market collapses, and you sort of get what you deserve, I think, at this point. But he's going to be backing up.
There's no way anyone believes. Yeah, there's no way anyone believes that Justin Fields is only worth like a sixth, right? Like Trey Lance, who was like an abysmal, like an absolute failure, got a fourth. So it's like the idea. I feel bad for Justin Fields, but Justin Fields, like, he's kind of like the girl who was with the guy before he was famous, and now the Bears started getting all these players like Keenan Allen, all these weapons, and now they're going to have the number one pick. And they're like, yeah, see, they found someone better. Now they're ditching him. So now he's the spurned ex is what he is.
Well, we've done this before. He's the new Mitch Trubisky. So, I mean, you know, in terms of that, you have to look at the way he was underperforming consistently and go, we're not going to take that for another season. Yeah, he can scramble. And maybe someone can make something of it. But, you know, it's almost like dropping stuff off at a charity shop. And then seeing it around town on someone else, and you're like, oh, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, you know? The thing is, you can't bail on the first overall pick 2 years in a row. Like, you did it, you brilliantly did it last year. Like, maybe not. Maybe if you took Stroud, you would be feeling pretty good about yourself like last year if you stuck with it. But other than that, like, there hasn't, even in the last, like, 3 or 4 years, the quarterbacks have just been abysmal. Like, they're like the one a couple of years ago, like the Kenny Pickett year. It's like every single
2021,
one of them
is becoming
to the point where it used to be like, you know, 50-50. Now it's like 20% chance your quarterback's going to be good, even if you're the number one pick, because there's still lots of people like have from with Caleb Williams, you know, people think like maybe this guy's not going to, we don't know. And we don't know how these players who got paid in college are going to transition to the NFL. I'm very curious about that, about the guys who just got their money and now they go to the NFL and they think they're the man because they were the man with money back in college. Because in college, you were the man, but you had no money. So you had to get the money to be the real man. But now everything's changed. And I'm fascinated to see how it'll affect people making that next step.
Well, it also says something to the fact that maybe the people who are coming up with draft picks don't know what the heck they're talking about. You know, maybe we're missing out on a whole swath of great talent because these guys are like, nope, here's your 7 rounds, here's your guys. And it's like, actually, maybe you forgot some people.
Look at the Bills a couple years ago. Like, they drafted Josh Allen, mocked, universally mocked by every pundit, people were like laughing at the Bills. And now look at them. Like, he was the, other than Lamar, you could argue who's the better one, but clearly those were the two ones and they were the last two chosen.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know, the other thing with keeping on my Bears, you know, like, obviously the one thing that got me was the DeAndre Swift deal. Cause I, you know, it's not like he's been lighting up the league. He's been sort of lighting up a bench. It seems more like it. 3-year, $24 million.
That was the first signing of the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's like,
you know, even before Josh Jacobs and went to the Packers, and you're like, you know, obviously you start looking, go Swift for that amount. I mean, damn, man, that's a lot of money.
The other GMs are like, did the Bears just hit on 17?
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing here?
They hit just on 19.
Like eight, because they were like 8 million. Everyone else was like, great, I guess we got to do 8 million for. Yeah. I was really surprised by that. Like, you know, you had that, and then you had like Saquon getting only like a little bit more. Like, yeah. The fact that Saquon Barkley and Gabe Davis are making the exact same money is crazy to me. It's just wild that just how far, even though it has been a little bit of a bounce back for the running backs, I think.
Yeah.
I think everyone was just shitting on them, being like, no one's going to pay running backs. And then you realize, yeah, maybe we kind of do need it. It's pretty important with all the awful quarterback play we saw the last year and all the times you have to bring in backups. And people are like, yeah, we might need a running game this year. So I think it's more out of just desperation that people are realizing, like, they saw what Detroit did with Montgomery and Gibbs, like that nice 1-2 of the bruiser and the speedster. Exactly. Because you got Herbert and Swift, you know, they're kind of different, but a little similar. But I think you're not guaranteed to know what's going to happen to your quarterback. So you need to at least have a backup plan when the quarterback gets injured, and it's got to be the running game.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I think we all lamented last year just how the running backs were getting screwed by a lot of things, and it seems like there was a bit of justification, but still, as you say, with the Saquon deal, still not a lot of love comparatively around it. The Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, to me, it's just like the Bears doing the Bears thing, just old men, just choosing the old guys again.
Well,
it's like,
the Keenan Allen one's good because whoever they draft, if it is Caleb Williams, is coming into a pretty nice situation. You know, Keenan Allen had almost maybe his best year last year. But the problem is that he's always been kind of injury prone. And last year he had that season where he wasn't injury prone. Now you're like, oh, God,
he was staying healthy for Herbert. And now you're like, oh, what's going to happen after this?
But fun fact of Keenan Allen, now that he's the Chicago Bear, he has
more
twice
yards.
The total yardage of any Bear in history.
We can't convert those, though. It's like, trying to take your air miles and trying to collect them at Walmart. It doesn't work. Yeah. I don't even know.
Your Disney dollars.
Who else? We pick up Brett Rippon. But the big one, I guess, obviously signing Jalen Johnson was a good thing. 4 years, $76 million. It's something that the Bears need. I mean, there was a lot of moves going on, obviously, when we start talking about the other people in our division, the Minnesota Vikings. What do you think of the deal that they gave Cousins? That's a lot of money.
It's a tricky one because Kirk Cousins is, without a doubt, the greatest free agent in NFL history. Like, in a way that Sam Bradford was, like, the greatest lucky draft. Like, because Sam Bradford made, like, $120 million off playing, like, 10 games.
Yeah.
But, man, Kirk Cousins, people just seem to just be enamored by nothing. Like, and he puts up stats. He puts up numbers. But even, it's like, even in Minnesota, you saw Kirk Cousins, he just get mocked for, like, 5-6 weeks in a row, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, he put a couple of really good games together. And then everyone just kind of forgets, and they're like, oh, Kirk Cousins, you know, he's just never been in the good situation. It's like, you know, Minnesota was a pretty good, when he took over the team, they were in the NFC Championship and they never went back. So I think Atlanta had no choice because they're loaded at a lot of positions, especially offensively. And to have to then go with the kind of questionable rookie, and especially when you got like an owner that's like 100 years old, they're just desperate. And they're just like, I want to see a championship before it's over. And I think everyone's going to get excited about all this, like Kyle Pitts in fantasy next year. I'm still staying away. But I think guys like Drake London, he's definitely going to help. Bijan, he's going to have the best running game he's ever had. But the other thing is, guys coming off an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
Right? I know him and Rodgers have been, you know, listening to dolphin sex together, but they have to, like, we don't know what that injury is. He's like 36-year-old guy coming off an Achilles. Like, and he just said, here's $180 million. It was wild. But I think if they didn't do it, someone else was going to. So they kind of have to. There's a lot of desperate teams out there.
Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting one, as you say, with the Achilles, because it does take a while to rebound off that, particularly at that age. I mean, Atlanta did try to shore up. I mean, they already had a pretty good, some good offensive talent. But, you know, getting like Darnell Mooney, Rondell Moore, Ray McCloud, it's like they still haven't, you know, they got Storm Norton for the offensive tackle, but they still haven't really figured out their offensive line yet.
Well, the good thing is they do have the 8th pick overall. So now that they've kind of solidified a bunch of spots, they're in a really good spot where because 3 quarterbacks are going to go, maybe 4.
Then,
which means maybe the best offensive lineman in the draft, I think, is Joe Alt. I think maybe someone like that falls to him. Who knows? They maybe trade up to to go get him. Like, if especially if you got a quarterback with an Achilles, get him some protection is what I'd
say. Oh, yeah, damn straight.
Double
and
a boot.
And maybe a dolphin. So extra protection. Let's talk about your team. Mitchell Trubisky, 2 year, $5.5 million deal.
He's the back. Bills haven't really done much. I think they're doing what they kind of they don't really have a lot of cap space, but they're making smart. I think the Curtis Samuel to me was a good signing. I think he's much better than Gabe Davis. I think Gabe Davis really does one thing well, or maybe two things. He's a good blocker, but Curtis Samuel brings in what the Bills lacked was explosiveness. They need
Curtis
a guy.
Curtis Samuel was a good deal, 3 year, $30 million. Yeah, I mean that's some separation. And someone who can make Diggs look like human.
But take a bit of pressure off of Diggs as well, because the problem with Gabe Davis is Gabe Davis could not separate, and that was his biggest fault. And so he'd go, you know, four games in a row with one catch or zero catches. And it's just, you cannot have that out of your number two. And I think it still gives the Bills a spot to draft a receiver and now go in with a really kind of resetting, because, you know, this is probably Diggs' last year, the way, mm-hmm. like with all the cryptic tweets that he does every year. And I just think it gets annoying. And I think there's just no way they can get rid of him this year. I think the dead cap, even if they trade him, they eat $30 million no matter what. So it just doesn't seem any point to trade. Why would you trade your best receiver anyway when you're still in the Super Bowl window? So I don't see. I think the Bills just are playing it smart. I think there's still a couple signings to go. They're going to get a new safety. But right now, I think they're looking okay. I'm not too worried about it. I haven't seen anyone like loading up, like for example, the Chiefs signed Marquise Brown, which I thought was a good signing.
That's a very good sign.
He's also never lived up to that hype. I think
I think the Hollywood sign's bigger than him.
I think that one good year, everyone's bigger than him. He's tiny. He had that one good year in Baltimore, but they traded him, and then he goes to Arizona. They just let him go. It doesn't seem like anyone's ever super interested to keep this guy around. Yeah. So, but I think Mahomes just needs weapons more. Even though does he? This guy wins Super Bowl without.
No, I know. So. I mean, he's gonna if he's able to get some healthy guys and actually catch the balls, that's gonna make a big difference. Let's keep it in your division for a second. We'll talk about Miami Dolphins. Picked up Jonnu Smith. They also got Shaq Barrett and a couple cornerbacks and Kendall Fuller. And they also got Jordan Poyer for a safety. Yeah. Not a lot of money, just trying to piece some stuff together. But, you know, there's still so many issues they'll need to address.
Well, their problem was they just hemorrhaged players, right? They lost everyone. You know, they had to cut Xavier Howard. They lost Van Ginkle. They lost Christian Wilkins.
Mm-hmm.
They're still at like the salary cap pretty much. They lost Baker, I think, their linebacker. So, and they lost Dick Fangio, who was their defensive core. So I think Miami had this like 1 year window, it looked like. Yeah, and now it's all kind of just falling apart because what are you going to pay Tua $50 million now? Is that the plan? When you got Tyreek, who's getting in trouble, like it's like his third thing in the offseason with women.
Now the pregnancy. Yeah. And like, more than
that. You got to then pay Waddle. It's just, I don't know what I think Miami's in a world of problems right now. And to not, because again, you saw last time we saw Tua was in the bad weather in January, not even be able to throw it 10 yards. So, if I'm Miami, like you was so exciting last year when you put up 70 and you looked like this unstoppable force. And then, you know, they did get ravaged with injuries by the end of the year, but to then lose almost every impactful player. Plus, you have Chubb and Jalen Phillips, who both tore their knees up late in the season. So they're going to be gone pretty much another year. So it's dark days, I think. So I think Miami, I think they just made it easier. I think it's the Bills and the Jets division now. It's going to be who's fighting for it. You know,
well, yeah, well, let's talk because
Rodgers is not the VP of America. So
no, he's not. He's everyone's VP at heart. Let's talk about the Patriots. So they pick up Jacoby Brissett, which obviously they're gonna be going for a quarterback. Antonio Gibson, 3 year, 11.25. Resigned Kendrick Bourne. They bring in KJ Osborne as well, and then Jalen Reagor, and then bring back Hunter Henry, and then sign Austin Hooper. So I mean, they've made some moves. They're putting some stuff together on their offensive line, offensive tackle. Not as much on defense.
I don't know. Are you excited about any of those offensive?
I'm not excited, Kendrick Bourne, but I mean.
I don't think they've done anything. I think they're in a, again,
staying alive.
What did they do? Did they take the third best quarterback, or are they in a position where they got to kind of do the Patriots and trade back, get some picks? Like,
well, they obviously need a quarterback. So at third, you know, they're picking third. You'd think that they're going to either, they're going to go for someone.
I would imagine they're going to go for a quarterback unless they get such a deal that they trade back and still think they can get someone. But I don't know. I think, again, it's just, the Patriots are now transitioning from Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. It's not going to be this kind of cakewalk, especially with no quarterback when you're in a division that has Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers. So it's like, good luck. You got to get a quarterback. You got to hit this.
You have to. And speaking of the Jets, they picked up Tyrod Taylor, who moves across the city to the Jets. 2-year deal, $18 million. Some offensive tackles. Morgan Moses, they brought in from Baltimore. Tyron Smith. So, I mean, you know, not a lot of money there for the Jets, but, you know, obviously still got to hope that Aaron Rodgers is going to be healthy and that the field doesn't rip up his legs this year.
Yeah, it's going to be that first game. It's just going to be nerve-wracking for Jets fans, I think.
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested to see what they do, because there's still talk like he wants more players. There's still talk like Mike Williams potentially. But again, do you really want to sign Mike Williams? Like, he's 31-year-old who's injured every single year. It just feels completely unnecessary to do that. So again, it all really depends on how good is Aaron Rodgers going to be.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of what ifs that we're always looking forward to. We'll move into looking at the AFC North. Baltimore Ravens bring in Derrick Henry in something that everyone's like, oh wow, you got the guy that used to be the number one rushing running back and the number one rushing quarterback together. They've always loved each other, and now they're together. 2-year, $16 million. How do you think Henry's going to fit in with Baltimore?
I mean, like, listen, like, there was a time in the season last year where Gus Edwards was the best fantasy running back for a few weeks. I think Derrick Henry's going to do perfectly fine there. He's going to eat it up. It's just going to be wild to see him and Lamar. Does this mean Lamar runs even less? And is that a good thing? Because right now they you know, I say they lost Odell, but is that really, I don't think that's much of a loss. But again, they're a team that kind of is still lacking offensive weapons, other than if you're just going to go with this, we're going to be this kind of double-headed monster of Lamar and Henry.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, because that's the running game has never been the problem of Baltimore. It's Lamar in the playoffs when he's losing and has to throw it. And that's been the problem. And that, it's like, great, you got Henry, who's going to help you get to the playoffs, probably maybe get the one seed again. But when the chips are down and it's the playoffs and you're down 10, 15, 14, you can't use Henry, what are you going to do?
And no, exactly. And it's, you know, we saw that against. Biggest word. Yeah, it's their ability to come back, and I don't know if that's coaching or wherever that was, but obviously when that loss to the Chiefs, you know, we've talked about that game before, but it's changing the mindset around. They also picked up Nelson Aguilar. Let's talk about the Bengals, though, for a second. They signed Zach Moss, 2-year deal. T. Higgins gets a franchise tag. Mike Gesicki, they bring in. Not a lot of money in terms of the Bengals and what they're able to move around. A couple of, you know, Trenton Irwin re-signed him, but not a lot of still tools and, you know, still the injury bug. You just wonder about the Bengals. They always seem to be injured. It's like that kid who's always sick, you know, the snotty nose of the kid.
And then we still don't know with Joe Burrow's wrist, like how bad of an injury is that can affect his velocity getting down. And now you got, especially with, you know, T. Higgins going down, being basically unhappy, and he's just going to be disgruntled all year, basically. So is that going to be beneficial to your team, because they're gonna have to, he's then gonna have to watch them pay Jamar Chase and just be like, hold on. So does he get traded on draft day? Because I think if I'm the Bengals, maybe I use him and trade up and get another receiver that replaces them and just kind of reset that. That's what I would do if I was Cincinnati. I would just kind of trade T. Higgins, move up, get a guy, start over, and you'll be fine. You'll be back to where you were.
Trade him to the Chiefs and then see how that comes back on you.
Well, because you got to trade up. You got to trade up. So the Chiefs are way back there. You're not going to trade up with the Chiefs.
Let's talk about the Browns. And, you know, Flacco did something for him, so they got rid of him. Bring in Jameis Winston, 1-year deal. Nyheim Hines for running back. Jerry Jeudy, obviously, that was the big one that they signed. And then they re-signed as a Darius Smith as well. But still, you know, the defense and still some issues with the Browns. But, you know, when they had that sort of good flush at the end of the season, you know, you wonder, you know, with Jameis and Deshaun, you know, the interceptions could be up there.
You kind of wonder if this year is the last year for, like, is this Deshaun's, like, Russell Wilson year?
Yeah,
where like, they just where, where they're eat just everything. Like, you know what? We don't even care. Just get the hell out of our building. Mm-hmm. You stole from us. Because right now, does anyone have any faith that Deshaun Watson is going to turn it around?
No.
It's been, what, like 5 years now since he was good? Since he was really good at the top of his game? And it doesn't seem to get it. It doesn't seem to be like this guy who's taken it over. Like, his whole season was weird, where he was kind of injured. He didn't play. And when he did, he was... And again... Is he even worth the hassle? And I think right now, this is when you saw what Flacco was able to do. But then that terrible playoff game, just absolutely, I wouldn't have brought him back after that game either. But I just think this is it, because it doesn't matter what they do, the Browns, it all falls on what Deshaun Watson does. They can do a million improvements. If Deshaun Watson keeps playing the way he's playing, it won't matter.
Yeah, you can only rely on your defense for so long, and they were doing that too often last year, where you just go, oh, wow, Browns defense saved them again.
And you can't rely on your defense in the playoffs, pretty much.
No, and you can't rely, because eventually, you know, you got Garrett and the rest of the guys going, come on, you got to help us out a bit. We finish on the AFC North. The Steelers, of course, get Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, Van Jefferson. It was the Dante Jackson, I think, that the trade that where they got rid of Deontay Johnson. That will help them out a bit, you know, the cornerback and the defense situation. It looks like Steelers are going all defense and just hoping the offense can limp through and maybe get them, you know, those limp dick wins that they got last
year. Yeah. Well, they did a smart move by, like, completely changing their quarterback room. Like, they got rid of Pickett immediately, traded him to Philly because he was a disaster. And then even though you have Russ, is anyone, like, I don't think Russ is going to keep that job. And the fact that, like, you're putting him with what? Only George Pickens, the most volatile young receiver in the league, who sulks probably every other game and has, like, fits of, right? So you put him with Russell Wilson. It's like, how long is that going to last? So if I'm Pittsburgh, like, I just think Justin Fields probably should beat him out in training camp. Like,
probably, yeah.
Unless I just think people are just so hung up on Russ because he's from his past or whatever. I don't get it. If anyone's watched him play football the last couple of years, like, it's been pretty rough to watch. And you're now going in a place with no real weapons except the guy who can go deep. And you traded Deontay Johnson, so they better go in that draft and get him a receiver, because right now, if you're just depending on what, and your running back is Najee Harris, your, like, powerful offense, Najee Harris and Freiermuth and Pickens, who gets two catches a game. It's like, good. You traded the only guy who can get separation and get the ball. It was Deontay Johnson. So I don't know. I don't really understand what they're doing, but I think they did a smart move by also getting Fields, because instead of putting all your eggs in
sure,
they at least got a backup
when they're not going to draft. That was smart. So
Moving
to the AFC South, where the Texans, everyone wants to come play in Texas. Joe Mixon goes there. Noah Brown re-signed, Dalton Schultz. It was a Danielle Hunter, that 2-year, $49 million deal, bringing him from the Vikings, who was just a beast, sack machine. And adding that to that Houston team, ooh, man. And also just, you know, they brought in a bunch of other guys, Okuda, you know, some other safeties and stuff like that. So Houston really investing in this defense this year and really putting them, it's like, oh, this is going to be an interesting team coming into this year.
Well, they're going to be the darlings of the like early preseason picks. Like, you're going to see a lot of them picking them in the Super Bowl. I think a lot of people are with Stroud and what he did.
Yeah.
I don't see why he shouldn't be. Like, I don't think Joe Mixon's good, but Joe Mixon, I don't think he's that huge of an upgrade for Devin Singletary, to be honest with you. Especially he's got a lot of mileage on the tires. So, but it doesn't really matter. It's all about Stroud and that defense. And they made that defense a lot better. It was already good with the third overall pick. And they basically, now that Danielle Hunter are both sides, they're going to be coming for him with D'Amico Ryans as your coach. This
is
going to be a fun team to watch. At least, I think you're going to see a lot of Houston primetime games this year. So it's Stroud. The Stroud boys will be in full effect.
Well, it's also nice because of, you know, the whole Texas situation. It's like, The Texans are like the Ukraine to Jerry Jones's Putin in Russia. You know, like he's just like, damn them, damn them. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of invasion he launches, because, you know, they're America's team, and suddenly there's a new America's team in Texas, and it's the Houston Texans.
Well, especially since you have Dallas doing nothing in the whole preg. They've done absolutely nothing. And you're like, okay, what's the plan? To re-sign Dak and just run it back with the same team that got waxed in the playoff? It's just so.
Well, it's like they're going
to
be
very the kind of intrigued to see, like, why they lost Pollard and they don't even call Derrick Henry. It's like, who are their running backs? Like, what is the plan in Dallas? I don't really understand what they're doing, unless they're planning some big draft trade to do something. Like, they must be, because if this is the plan, this is a bad plan.
I think they're bringing in a foreign running back from Nepal to do some of the duties, just like the Russians did. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see sort of what they do with that in terms of, you know, putting it all together. Let's talk about the Colts for a second. Joe Flacco, Trey Sermon, bring back Michael Pittman, 3-year, $70 million deal. Man, again, there's a team that's, you know, again, doesn't have a lot to do. Obviously, hoping that Richardson comes back and he's healthy. Joe Flacco can, I guess, give a bit of veteran advice in the locker room. Not a lot of money, but bringing back Pittman was good because he was the only guy seemed to really,
you know,
3-year, $70 million deal. he was the guy snagging it in, $46 million guaranteed. So, I mean, at least that's that connection, at least for fantasy points, the Pittman and Richardson, it's going to be good.
Yeah, well, as long as, like you said, Richardson, who it seemed like last year, every other game was getting concussed or just launching his ball. He was like reckless Josh Allen is what he played like last year. And I think as long as, because he looked great when he was out there, he was playing, he was fun, he was dynamic, but, you know, he was reckless. And I think he got himself hurt a lot. So I hope they will beat that into him. But you got to be careful, because if you do it too much, you change the player. And then if you change the way he plays, it might not work. So you have to, it's a fine balance of just being smart, basically.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, you know, I think we obviously in the UK, we think about them a lot because they come here a lot, but there also seems to be that sort of, ooh, man, did you guys miss your gap there? Because
you know,
there seemed to be a good, strong start to last year. And then it all just fell apart in so many different ways. Coming after the London games, it sort of fell apart from it. So they bolstered their thing by bringing in Mac Jones, sixth round pick from 2020.
There you go.
And then, you know, running back Dearness Johnson, Gabe Davis on a 3-year, $39 million, Devin Duvernay extension, and of course, bringing back Josh Allen on the franchise, not exclusive franchise tag for $24 million. I mean, he was the big guy to bring back. But again, not so many huge moves for the Jaguars when you see what's going on with Houston.
Well, then also to let Calvin Ridley go, who was your best receiver, to now say, all right, we're going to run it with Gabe and Kirsten Kirk. It's like, okay, I get. And we did not see, it's not like Trevor Lawrence has shown he's this quarterback that can just put a team on his back and just carry, give me, I don't care what weapons I have, I'll still win this game. You know, this is going to be an interesting year for them because, you know, that division is still kind of, again, it was wide open. You thought it was going to be Jacksonville's for years to come. And now Houston looks like it's theirs. And I just don't really understand what the plan is in Jacksonville. Is this it? This is your, you made your offense worse and your defense isn't that great. So it's like, okay. So, and then you just sign just a kind of like run of the mill average guys with no one that dynamic or that great. I don't know. I'm very confused at the plan in Jacksonville, just like the plan in Tennessee, you know, signing.
Yeah. Well, that's what we talk about. You sign a guy to your division rival. You allow Tennessee, you know, to sign Calvin Ridley. And again, it's Will Levis. I mean, they bring in Mason Rudolph on a 1-year deal. But bring in Calvin Ridley, 4 years, $92 million with $50 million fully guaranteed. And you said no to AJ Brown.
And he's 5 years older, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But it's a wild, it's wild times for, it's weird. He's a weird 29 years old, Calvin Ridley. Feels like,
I didn't bet on that. I bet he was younger. But you know, the other thing that Tennessee did do is that they did recognize that offensive line. I mean, they brought in Lloyd Cushenberry, 4-year, $50 million deal, Sadiq Charles. I mean, they do recognize that the offensive line that he was getting, Billy Jeans was getting crushed back there. But still, they don't have a lot of money, not a lot of gaps. And again, you get rid of Derrick Henry, bringing in Tony Pollard.
Yeah. You know? Okay. It's sick. Yeah. Who was awful last year.
So,
I don't really see what the plan is, to be honest with you.
AFC West, Denver Broncos. Nothing. They had no money. They brought in Will Lutz, re-signed.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, you know, Lil Jordan Humphrey, re-signed him. They just re-signed a bunch of people. Nothing really going on there. Denver is going to have a tough year.
I think they're just kind of, I think this must have been the plan when he came. Like, he probably thought, maybe I can make Russ into something, and now he's just like, let's just bomb it this year. We're going to be garbage. Get a quarterback and let's go. And I think that's has to be the plan, because it's the only thing that makes sense. Like, they don't really have any pieces anymore. They've kind of traded them all away. Judy wasn't really that great. Like, he was kind of
and
he's never really been that breakaway kind of second receiver they wanted him to be. So I don't really mind the trade, but it was only like a fifth, which, again, you think you'd get more, but who knows?
These guys are
tough negotiators, these GMs.
They're agents.
Yeah. They should be like terrorist negotiators, right? They're so tough. They'll be like, give me the hostages. No.
Yeah, that's it. Get ChatGPT to do
exactly.
Do the contracts. It's keeping the AFC West, Kansas City, of course, Hollywood Brown, we talked about. The big deal, of course, re-signing Chris Jones, 5-year, $158.75 million, $101 million guaranteed. I mean, and then they put Jadarius Sneed, they put the franchise tag.
Worth every penny for Chris Jones. Chris Jones is worth every single penny. That guy, now that Aaron Donald's retired, he's the best defensive tackle in football. And it's not even close. Like, he is the reason they won that Super Bowl last year. Or this year. And if they would have let him go, it would have been wild. There was no way it's going to happen. I still think they trade Sneed. They'll probably trade Sneed on draft day, see what happens. But I think
he's a good cornerback.
Let Chris Jones do his thing every year. Guy's amazing.
It's Mustache Mania in Las Vegas as Gardner Minshew signs a 2-year, $25 million deal, $15 million guaranteed. They also bring in running back Alexander Mattison. Not a lot. And the big thing, obviously, the Raiders is Christian Wilkins, 4-year, $110 million, $84.75 guaranteed, pairing him with Max Crosby.
But look how bad the AFC West is. It's an embarrassment. Like, the Chargers let go of everybody. And now it's going to be what? The Chargers, the Raiders, and the Denver going. I give Kansas City 13 wins off the bat because no one's in that division is even going to sniff a victory off of them.
Yeah, like, you had a couple year window where you could have challenged the Chiefs. And now it's like, well, your window's closed.
It's like the Brady in the AFC East all over again. It's like he's just going to be in this god awful division for 20 years and win like a million Super Bowls, because just like Brady, no one in the AFC East could ever challenge him.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But they just got guaranteed the one seed every year.
We talk about that. The Chargers, they re-signed Easton Stick, which I know you were very nervous about what was going to happen to Easton Stick. Whether he's going to get batted around. Gus Edwards signs a 2-year, $6.5 million deal. And then Will Disley, tight end, 3-year, $114 million. Hayden Hurst. So they're really trying to bring in the tight end game in the Chargers. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Harbaugh is able to put together, with a bunch of broken toys.
Not much. They got a top 10 pick, which is good. But this is going to be a rough year for Harbaugh, I think. I think he might be able to squeak, but they're going to be like an old school running team. It's going to be boring. And
it's going to be a defensive team.
Do not draft Herbert in fantasy basically this year.
No, he won't be connecting anyone. He'll be a good second. He might be a backup. Dallas Cowboys, as we said, did nothing really. Nothing really there. We'll talk about the Giants, who signed Drew Lock, 1-year, $5 million deal. They brought in Devin Singletary as well from Houston, Isaiah McKenzie. It was the Brian Burns won the big trade that got them for them. 2024 pick, 2020, a whole bunch of picks worth up $150 million. I mean, a lot of people, obviously, with him leaving Carolina, a big piece of the puzzle, and Carolina continues to trade away all of their good parts. It'd be an interesting thing for the Giants defense, who's actually in the second half of the season was actually playing a lot better, keeping their offense in these games. So, obviously the Giants are focused on defense this year, it seems like.
Yeah, they're going to be a much better defense. Again, they've drafted high guys in the last Thibodeau, I think, last year or the year before, and he's getting good. It's just a matter of now, what are they going to be with Daniel Jones, right? Is this guy going to be able to do anything? Are they going to get they have to draft him a receiver. This is a team that has zero weapons at all. Like, you cannot trust Darren Waller to play. Who's your best receiver? Like Justin Hyatt? Or like, who? Like, it's just, they are, I think they have the seventh pick or something they have to take, or the sixth. They have to take the best receiver available. I think they will. I think it's their only chance, really. It's, otherwise, it's going to be grim.
It's going to be very grim. Philadelphia Eagles made some interesting changes, obviously bringing in Saquon Barkley to 3-year, 37.5-point contract with 25.5 guaranteed. Kenny Pickett and bring in for a trade, put him somewhere on the bench, and Devontae Parker 1-year deal. You know, bringing back C.J. Gardner, the Sots, for a 3-year, $33 million deal. And of course, the big one was the offensive guard Landon Dickinson, 4-year, $84 million extension. Which was $50 million guaranteed, finally of a rookie contract. You know, Philadelphia, obviously, they're just watching the wind go out of their sails the second half of last year. With, I don't know if you've seen Jalen Hurts, when he shaved off his goatee. He looks like he's 50 now. but, you know, Philadelphia, they have to make a lot of moves because, you know, again, this is an easy division that they should have taken, should be taking, and struggled, obviously, getting knocked in the playoffs last year, you know. Can they get the 12 or 13 wins, you think, this year with the changes they made?
I don't know. That's the thing, because we don't know if this is like a hangover thing that's going to go. Because their fall, they were like 12-1 at one point or something, like 10-1.
Oh, yeah.
After, and then they just literally lost every single game. And it wasn't even like close. They were just getting beaten down. Like, they got beat down by Baker Mayfield, which earned him $100 million, basically, from that win. And they're just, I don't know, like, they've lost Jason Kelce, their best guard. So he's like the guy who makes the tush push go. Like, is that even, how is that going to affect that? Which was like their bread and butter.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Again, they're just depending, like, let's say Saquon do, because to me, that's just a sign that they're less confident in Jalen Hurts going forward. The fact that signed Saquon, I think they're just like, let's get back to the old Philly ways of just running the ball like crazy.
Going it right through.
So you're gonna have a lot of pissed off AJ Brown games this year. Because there's gonna be a lot of running in Philly.
A lot of, and Jake Elliott, 4-year, $24 million, $14.2 million guaranteed. So kicking it in there. Washington made some interesting ones, bringing in Marcus Mariota after they traded Sam Holloway to Seattle. Marcus Mariota, 1-year, $6 million. Wow, he's five times better than Russell. And then bringing Austin Eckler for a 2-year contract as well for 11.43. Interesting move by Eckler. Jamison Crowder re-signs, and they bring in Zach Ertz as well. You know, it's, again, not a lot of money there for Washington, and again, a competitive division. So many changes going on afoot there. It's going to be interesting to see what Washington's plans are for this year.
Well, it all depends on their quarterback, right? They're going to get a second pick, so they're going quarterback, and then we'll just see. Like, again, Eckler is a good little piece, a good little dump off option for a young quarterback to have that kind of dependable guy like that. And I think Washington's just kind of always just been an interesting team. I think if they can get some good coaching, they got some pieces, but they just never been able to have competent ownership or coaching or a stadium that doesn't fall apart. So maybe if they fix those things, the wins will start coming. So, but at least they're going to be able to get a quarterback, and they're in a kind of a fresh spot. I don't know how great, I don't think what they hired, Dan Quinn. I'm not like super excited about Dan Quinn as the coach, but we'll see.
At NFC North, we'd already talked about a little bit, but Detroit doing nothing really. I mean, they bring in defensive lineman DJ Reader, 2-year deal with $27.5 million. That's going to make that defense even stronger, and bring back some of the other guys that they had. But again, not a lot of money, not a lot of opportunities there for Detroit. Just trying to, you know, coast on what they did last year, and I guess try to finesse it a little bit bigger this year.
Again, Detroit didn't really. Again, they played so well in the playoffs. They were so close. I think they need to just tweak a little bit, a couple tweaks. I think they need another receiver. Yeah. I think the fact that just depending on St. Brown isn't enough. And Jameson Williams is a good deep piece, but you need that. I think they need one more piece of the pie, especially since you traded, you know, Hawkinson. You got Laporta.
Yeah.
But you still need another receiver. Like, it's just they're missing you need that one piece.
Someone can do some slants.
As a quarterback.
Somebody can do some actual moving around. Green Bay didn't have a lot of monies either, but they were able to re-sign AJ Dillon and bring in Josh Jacobs, 4-year, $48 million, $12.5 million bonus, and $14.8 million in year one. A lot of money for them.
Yeah,
just interesting how they got, you know, get rid of Jones and bring in Jacobs.
Well, I think it's a smart move. You're getting basically a younger version of Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is like a fan favorite, so he was loved. And for the fact that he goes to Minnesota must just rip the hearts out. But, you know, of course he was going to do that. You know, Favre did it. They all go to Minnesota when they're angry. It's like the petulant child.
Yeah. Child's grandma's room. Grandma's house.
I'm running away and I'm going to grandma's.
Stay there. You'll see me all every Christmas.
But I like the Jacobs move. I think he's when he's healthy and running hard, he's going to be great. And I think to give, you know, Jordan Love that absolute beast of a running back that he can depend on, just going to open up everything for him to get him. So I think it's, they're just being smart. You know, they signed also a safety.
Xavier McKinney, who's also a fellow Alabama player with Josh Jacobs, 4-year deal, $68 million, $25 million year one.
He's going to be really helpful for them. So I think the Packers right now are definitely it's going to be a nice, them and Detroit battling for that division. And you got Chicago. Who knows how good?
Who knows Chicago? Well, let's also see it. Like, Minnesota's got some coaching. They already have some talent on that team. And Minnesota brings in Sam Darnold and Aaron Jones. The interesting thing is going to be here now, because with the coaching and what they've got is Minnesota, would they look to trade up? Would they look to get rid of someone big on that team to get themselves a quarterback? Because, you know, I don't know, bring in Sam Darnold for a 1 year. That doesn't show me signs that you've got a quarterback plans.
I think they're planning on it. They just traded with Houston to move up. So they got two number ones.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to make a move. And I think maybe someone like JJ McCarthy from Michigan. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they go up all the way to 3 and trade with New England. Who knows?
New England's so quarterback desperate, but who knows? New England might have that plan and go, we're willing to unload, or maybe they can hit Washington with a sweet deal, or just fleece us everything and give it to the Bears. And we're like, let's take it. We talked about Carolina, who did nothing. New Orleans Saints brought in Nathan Peterman. Tyrann Mathieu.
They're in like salary cap hell for the next 40 years.
Well, they got Chase Young as well, which they were able to bring in just recently as well. It should be interesting. So, how they're able to squeeze that money. But then again, it's all on Carr here to, you know, get rid of Michael Thomas. They seem to be in a bit of a pickle where everyone else seems to be growing in this division, and they seem to be recessing.
Yeah, it does seem that way. Like, again, but I think, again, having the weak division, I just thought, you know, everyone just penciled him in. Good defense and Carr should be able, but Carr was bad. And I just don't see it getting any better. So they're kind of just stuck with him for another year. So I know, man, I would have rather had Jameis, to be honest with you, if I'm a Saints fan.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. But I think they gave Carr that money and they have no choice. They kind of have to play him. But I think this is going to be potentially Carr's last year in the league. Because if he plays like he did last year, who's going to want him?
No, exactly. And just the anger and the sulky face. As we said, Tampa Bay re-signed Baker, 3-year, $100 million deal. Chase Edmonds, they re-signed as well. And, you know, just trying to bring in, and it's a Mike Evans deal, 2-year, $52 million. Finally getting him paid. Going to still have some issues with protection and a lot of still issues there, but who knows what they can do in the offseason to turn that around. Talk about the NFC West now. Arizona brings in quarterback Desmond Ridder, running back DJ Dallas, but not a lot going on there in terms of Arizona, in terms of what they've got. You know, some offensive guards, bring in some offensive linemen to help out. But other than that, not a lot of moves there. I mean, I guess Desmond Ridder's there going to be to help out the little man. Losing some of your receivers as well.
Yeah, but I think they're clearly going to go Marvin Harrison Jr. If he's there at 4, especially if it's quarterback 1, 2, 3, they get the best receiver. You got Kyler as weapon, then you should go kind of like Larry Fitzgerald. You kind of move on with the next piece. So I can't imagine that they don't do that, because you're already paying Kyler. You're kind of stuck with him. You might as well give him a weapon, because right now it's a bare cupboard in there. You know, there's not much. God, you got the tight end McBride, but other than that, who do you really have? You know, James Conner, who's getting older.
Yeah. But
there's not really many weapons, and Kyler's going to be like, what the fuck do you want me to do with all this? So
get
him Marvin Harrison and we'll see what happens.
Should have the tools. LA Rams bring in the gorgeous Jimmy Garoppolo to 1-year deal. Not much else going on, but they did some offensive line and stuff. They brought in offensive guard Jonah Jackson, 3-year, $51 million, $34 million guaranteed, re-signing Kevin Dotson as well, and then signed Darius Williams to the cornerback 3 year, $22.5 million. You know, Rams, again, we looked at how good they were playing well last year, how Stafford, when he's healthy, was able to rip it up a bit. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they're able to do now.
They only brought in Jimmy G to go into sales for luxury boxes.
Yeah.
And she's like, let me introduce you to our salesman, Jimmy. And
then he comes in. God, he's gorgeous.
I'll buy two. I'll buy two. Yeah, so...
Let's talk about the 49ers. Re-signed Brandon Allen. They're bringing Joshua Dobbs a 1 year because he had some heat going in. Leonard Floyd signed a 2 year, $20 million deal. And they brought in Malik Collins in a trade with the Houston Texans for a 7th round pick. Obviously, getting rid of Chase Young, trying to move what they can around in money deals. But not a lot of huge moves there. I mean, obviously for San Fran, it was coaching, really. They had a lot of the tools. They just didn't have the coaches to get them down.
Yeah, and to kind of see what they're going to do with Brandon Ayuk because he's kind of on the franchise tag. Are they going to trade him in the draft? Because I don't think they can afford to pay him. Like, they're already paying everybody on that team. Like, you can't pay everybody, especially you got Nick Bosa making $30 million. Like, there's no way you can pay Debo and Ayuk and McCaffrey.
Yeah.
It's just nuts. You can't do that. So, and Fred Warner. So it's ridiculous. So again, San Fran's just now, they're just kind of stuck with Purdy and just going to have to run this back unless they can somehow, Shanahan somehow figure this out. But if you're like, I just think San Fran's going to be the same as they were. I don't think they're the best team in the NFC.
No, but there's consistency and it's just going to matter of them coming back to lose to the Chiefs again in the Super Bowl. Lastly, we have Seattle Seahawks who traded for Sam Howell. I guess Sam Howell was tired of getting sacked. I guess that was the big deal. Re-signed Noah Fant. They bring in tight end Farrell Brown. Re-signing Leonard Williams on a 3 year, $64.5 million contract was a big deal for them. Seattle, obviously, new coach, new energy in Seattle. But you wonder what they're going to do if Sam Howell. It's going to be the Sam and Geno show. I don't know what the plan is in Seattle.
Well, yeah, I don't think so either. I don't know what the plan is. I think they're kind of have to go with Geno one, but he's going to be on a short leash this year. I think last year he kind of disappointed after his kind of breakout year, and they paid him, and then he disappointed. But Geno's used to this. His whole life is a roller coaster in the NFL. Yeah. He's up and down, and everything's going right or wrong. So Geno will probably have a point in the season where he's benched, and then Howell will come in and he'll get benched and Geno will come back in. It's going to be a bit of a, I think,
carousel.
Kind of carousel. That's the way I'm looking
for. It's a roller coaster or carousel. Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, of quarterbacks this year for Seattle.
Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, that's what we've seen so far, folks. It's a lot of activity. It's not even done. It's still lots going on. Ryan, and I obviously paying attention to all of it because we're back. We're back now. The cobwebs are off. Spring has sprung. Yeah. It's getting a little cooler.
We're ready.
But we're ready for it. Folks, thanks for listening for this edition of the podcast. And we're up. Episode 300 is coming up soon. Ryan and I will be back to wax on poetically, but all the great things that happen in this podcast. Thanks for listening.